welcome to the Visionista podcast. I'm your host, Jessica East of Noir Marketing and PR. This podcast is for entrepreneurs where we talk about business and work-life balance. Welcome to the Visionista podcast. This is your host, Jessica East, and I am chatting today with Chris Bauer, who is president and CEO of Endurance Federal Credit Union. Thank you for chatting with me today.
Glad to be here.
Do you want to give everybody just a quick 411, who you are and what you do, what your role is there at the credit union?
Sure. Like you said, I'm the president and CEO of Endurance Federal Credit Union. We used to be, for many, many years, Halliburton Employees Federal Credit Union, and we rebranded back in 2018. Mm-hmm. Just because we were really trying to be more community focused. Mm-hmm. Not that we still have our relationship with the Halliburton company, but we had relationships with a lot of other organizations as well. Mm-hmm. And then we just increased our footprint by enhancing our charter a few months ago, picking up about 38 counties in southern Oklahoma and northern Texas. So we're pretty excited about that. I've been here about 12 years. We were about $79 million in assets when I arrived. We're at $170 million now.
Awesome.
So we're pretty proud of that growth. And we're primarily doing consumer lending at this point, but we're trying to step out and do a little bit more real estate. So we're bringing on some expertise to do that. Right now is a good time too, because rates are so low and seems to be a very hot market for that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're in Duncan, Oklahoma, and we have three branches, two here in Duncan, which is just south of Oklahoma City, and out in western Oklahoma, a little town of Elk City.
Awesome. So under your leadership, you have grown the credit union quite a bit. So you are very qualified to talk about today's topic, which is leadership, specifically good leadership. So what makes a good leader, in your opinion? We connected on LinkedIn, and you post a lot about good leadership qualities, positive things for just people and leaders. What is a good leader to you?
Well, I mean, I think there's several different things, traits that make a good leader. I think, being honest and having a lot of integrity, confidence, being able to inspire. I post a lot of things that, I feel like would inspire people. Mm-hmm. I also think, things that maybe people didn't think about 10, 15, 20 years ago, being empathetic to people. I think a lot of leaders, the old school leaders, really didn't have a lot of empathy for people. Mm-hmm. And I think you got to be a great communicator. I think you got to keep people in the loop, have them understand the direction you want to go and the direction you want to take them and the organization. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times managers used to keep everything under wraps. They kept all the information to themselves, because they felt like it empowered them. And I just don't believe in that at all. And then I think being able to delegate and then properly delegate. And then I think accountability. I think you have to be the one that understands it all falls on you.
Yeah.
And you can't just go around blaming other people. You have to be accountable. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the things, in my opinion, that make people a good, great leader.
And that's good to hear, because some of those things kind of cross over with PR points. In the old days, it was deny, deny, deny. Oh, no, I don't know anything about that. That wasn't us. Mm-hmm. We don't know. This must have been our competitor. But it's changed. People really appreciate transparency, and they appreciate a leader who's willing to say, oh, my gosh, this thing happened, and I am so sorry. We're going to do some training. We're going to not have whatever this thing is happen again. And then you have to stick to it. You can't just say that. You actually have to try to make some changes so that whatever the thing was doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's really applicable. And, social media, Google, the web are great ways to figure out if people are actually sticking to their word or not. So, being authentic and being truthful is a good idea in business anyway, and definitely great leadership qualities. How can you tell if you're a good leader? Because there's managers, you know, people who manage a department or people or a director of a division. And then there's good leaders. How can you tell if you're a good leader versus just maybe a manager of something?
Well, I think it's because if you're effective, you make those around you better. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that you're not just telling them what to do, but you're actually growing them. You know, you're planting the seed and then you're seeing that grow over time and they become, you know, better leaders and managers themselves, better employees themselves. Mm-hmm. I think you build a lot of trust. If your team really trusts you, then I think overall, you know, you're really building up the morale and, you know, people want to follow you. I mean, that's the thing. If people want to follow you, if you have people who want to go into battle for you, then you're a good leader or a great leader. I think that, I mean, it goes back to the communication part of things. You know, I always make sure that my people, you know, the people that are complete, that are directly under me, mm-hmm. always know where they stand. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, again, you want to inspire, you want to direct, you want to motivate people. And you know, the old, you know, they have that little, picture that you see of like a manager cracking a whip. And then you see the leader, like the one that's actually helping pull the weight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's perfect. You're going to crack the whip and be a manager. Or are you going to be a leader and get in there and actually help them pull?
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good analogy. So, you know, some real life ways to see that. If you have people who are doing really well, really productive, you know, maybe putting in a little extra, winning awards, those kinds of things, that's a good indication that you're doing a good job. And on the flip side,
right. Maybe
you have a high turnover, you know, things aren't getting done on time or very well, then instead of maybe looking at the people, perhaps you should look at yourself and say, hey, is there something that I could do better to support my team?
Of course. So, everybody needs to do it. Even if you're considered a good leader, you should do that.
Well, I think, you know, if you're not dead, there's an opportunity to learn and grow. You know, there's always something new coming down, especially with technology. You know, we're podcasting via Zoom today. There's always something new coming on, and maybe it can help you do your job better. Maybe it can help your team do your job better. And we're always learning and doing things. So, you know, being willing to be a little bendable with growth, I think is really helpful too. So that actually kind of rolls into my next question. How can you improve? Like just for your own satisfaction, maybe you're looking at your team and you're going, ugh, maybe I should be a better leader here. What are some ways that you can improve upon yourself to get those skills?
Well, I think you have to find within yourself, you know, what things you probably feel like you're lacking, the things you're not getting out of your team. You have to continuously be inspired yourself. I mean, you can't inspire other people if you're not internally inspired. Mm-hmm. I think the motivation is in oneself. I mean, that's the one thing I tell my managers all the time. You want to motivate them, the motivation comes from inside of you. You have to continue to be motivated. Don't set on just don't sit around on your achievements. You'll continue to, like we talked about, you want to continue to improve. You know, I tell people take on a mentor, you'll take on an executive coach, or ask for that. If you feel like you're not getting it, you know, maybe you can go to your, you know, the executive team or your CEO and say, you know, I would want to improve on some things. And maybe I use an executive coach. Mm-hmm. You know, I have for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or so. I think it's been very instrumental in my growth. And then I've even had people on LinkedIn reach out to me to do a little bit of mentoring, ask me questions. You know, we'll set up weekly meetings and have phone calls about some things, just random discussions that they, you know, just feel like they just need someone to listen to them. Mm-hmm. And I'll give them some advice. Sometimes it's not always the advice they want to hear, you know, but
oftentimes growth is not, it's hard.
I mean, sometimes you have to tell them, you know, I mean, sometimes things aren't fair and sometimes things just don't always go your way, but this is how I would approach it. Sometimes the youth of today gets a little overzealous and feels like they can just blurt out whatever, and they don't understand the ramifications of that. They need to be a little bit more tactful or a little bit more delicate and handle a situation, even if they're in the right. They just need to be careful.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So if you were looking for a mentor, you know, do you have to have any kind of itinerary, you know, some kind of checklist like, hey, I want to learn these things? Or can the mentor kind of just drive that a little bit? Like, do you, I don't know, I guess if you're trying to grow and you're like, hey, there's a lot of things that I don't know, I feel like maybe I should learn these things from someone. I'm asking because a lot of the listeners for this podcast are starting a business. Some of them haven't been in business very long. Some of them are just at the very beginning stages. I know personally, I did not have a business degree when I started my business. And so I knew that there were a lot of questions that I needed to ask from people. But unfortunately, I only knew specific questions when there was a problem, you know, or if there was a specific thing I was trying to figure out. You know, not that I'm saying people should, you know, harass you on LinkedIn and have you give them, you know, business plans or anything, but, you know, what would you suggest to someone who's like, hey, I know there's a lot that I don't know. I feel like I need, you know, somebody to come and kind of help me out here.
Well, I think if they're looking for a mentor or an executive management coach, I just think they just need to make sure that they maybe, there's a lot of them out there and you really need to probably talk to a few of them and see what their end game is. I mean, what they feel like they bring to the table and what they can teach you. I mean, do they have the expertise to actually give you the kind of guidance that you need? I mean, when I was choosing an executive coach, it was easy for me because that person understood the industry that I was in and but was also a business leader and had sat on some boards and kind of understood the dynamic of what I deal with on a daily and a monthly basis. So that was easy. But, you know, I've had executive coaches reach out to me in the past, you know, and they want, you know, to talk to me a little bit. And you know, I always tell them, well, I have an executive coach that I'm very happy with. But again, I think that's the main thing, going back to the answer to the question, is I think they just need to do their due diligence and really, you know, talk to this person and see, you know, what they can bring to the table to help them based upon what needs they feel like are lacking, like you mentioned.
Well, and that's kind of a good point, actually. I see people all the time. I think it's social media's AI, but I see posts all the time from people who are executive coaches and, you know, pay this amount and these are the things you get. And, you know, I don't know them. It's just an ad that's showing up in my feed. So, you know, that's a very good point about doing your own due diligence so that you don't hook up with the wrong person or hook up with someone who's not going to really give you, you know, a value for whatever they're charging. Not that I'm saying executive coaches are not a good value. Many of them really, really are. You just kind of have to suss out who you're talking to. So one of the things don't get taken advantage of, guys. One of the things you mentioned a few minutes ago was about delegation with your team. And that was something that I struggled with because I kind of got thrown into it, you know, managing other people. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And so there was my way and then everybody else's way. And I had to figure out that just because it was someone else's way didn't make it wrong. How do you, and I was working in corporate America, so I had, you know, managers to be like, hey, this is, you know, this is fine. You're being a little, you know, OCD about this. Calm down. So I had people over me to kind of let me know this isn't wrong. This just isn't how you would do it. If you were doing your own business or you're the manager and you don't have that person over you to kind of help you through that, how do you go about trusting your team? Because you can't build a good organization if you're trying to do everything yourself. There's just not enough hours in the day to get that done.
Well, I mean, I think, again, you have to trust the people that, you know, either you're bringing in or that are there to be willing to delegate responsibility. Mm-hmm. I see so many times in different organizations that I've worked at that people just, like I mentioned before, they want to keep it all to themselves. It's like a power thing. Like if I keep all this information and how to do something and I don't show anybody else, and I make myself where they can't get rid of me or something. I don't know. But I think you're doing a disservice to the people that are underneath you and showing them that you don't trust them to learn and to grow. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I mean, there's some people who can't do it all and they try to do it all. And I think if you are a perfectionist, I think that not giving them that responsibility puts so much on you that you could be prone to making mistakes too, because you're trying to do too much. And then it's going to become overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I think you definitely need to, it's just a matter of trust. They need to trust you. You need to trust them. And I just think it's very important to make sure that you delegate responsibility.
Yep. No, I 100% agree. Not just because you're making your own self crazy by keeping too much in. This is my business that I've built and I literally can't grow. I know another business owner in town who's been in business for probably 15 years, maybe longer. And he will not turn anything over to anyone else. He works with his wife. And so they can only grow so much because there's only so much he can do himself. Whereas there are other businesses who are much newer and they trust their team. And so you have one person kind of driving the bus and then you have the other people, you know, pitching in to help get things done. And the way you can grow your organization with help is exponentially compared to not being able to grow because you've got one person who's hanging on to everything. So, you know, if you're listening and you're struggling with letting go of things, you're just kind of shooting yourself in the foot because you'll grow, but you're going to plateau, you know, at some point soon because you can't take on more than hours are in the day.
So, well, if you're hiring them, why don't you trust them to take on some of the responsibility? I mean, that's the thing. But again, you know, people just think it's not going to be done right if I don't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's just not necessarily true. I mean, yeah, it'll be done right in your eyes, the way you want it done, if you do it, but someone could actually even do it better. They could do it more efficiently, more effectively. You just never know. So you have to, there's got to be a little bit of trust there.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point, the doing it a different way. What I do is very creative. You know, we have an end goal. You know, our client needs to increase sales by so much, or they have an event they're putting on, and so we need to do the wayfinding signage for it, or they need a new website, whatever. We do a myriad of things. So we have a deliverable that we have to get done. But when you have other people looking at it, you know, if you have six different people on the team attacking, you know, one goal, you could have six different really cool ways to accomplish whatever it is you're trying to do. The website, you know, a sign, a t-shirt. Not that I'm saying you put six people on a website because that would just be a colossal mess. But
right.
You understand what I mean. I love hiring interns, you know, a few hours a week here and there. Some of the stuff that they're picking up in classes, I don't have time to go back and learn the ins and outs of Creative Suite at this point. So whenever they do a new update, kind of figure out if there's a new button, maybe there's a window that pops up and says, hey, I'm new, and I next time, and kind of never figure it out. So, you know, learning new things from people, whether they're your peers or interns, you know, taking a chance on some of those new connections and new relationships can be really, really rewarding, because especially in business, we get kind of set in our ways, and sometimes it takes another point of view to shake things up. And that could be a really great strategy for growth just on its own.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going back to the previous questions about leadership and motivating, I mean, one of the most challenging things you'll ever do as a leader is to get someone who's set in their ways to think differently. Mm-hmm. You know, they think it's always their way and they really don't show a lot of flexibility. Mm-hmm. And you have to, and as a leader, you really need to convince them, like, hey, you need to let go a little bit. and show a little flexibility. You know, I have an individual who's been with me the whole time that I've been here, who's on my executive team. And when I first started, there was zero tolerance. There was zero empathy for people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually through our, you know, working together and having conversations and me mentoring her, she's really come a long way in being a little bit more empathetic about people's situations. Mm-hmm. And that not everyone is the same and not every situation is the same. Can't be cut and dry. You have to understand that as much as you're frustrated about whatever may be going on or a person missing work or not being dependable, you don't know what's going on with them. You got to be a little empathetic about it.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked a lot about kind of self-improvement, trying to be a better leader. You know, mm-hmm. how do you get good leadership out of the people under you? You know, you just mentioned that person that needed a little, you know, kind of a little shove in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know, can everyone be coached, or are there some people that are maybe not coachable? Because that's kind of a something that you can run across as well.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously there's people out there who just don't want to change. I mean, they're just, it's impossible. I mean, they're just, you can't change someone's will if they don't want to. I mean, you can try to give them the direction, you can give them the tools, you can communicate with them all the time, and they're just always going to revert back to what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, I know for a fact there's people out there like that, who've had, you know, 9 lives and spent every one of them, you know, as far as, you know, your ability to be able to get them to understand the direction that you want them to go or some things that they need to improve upon. And they have to be willing, for sure. And I think, you know, sometimes you just got to cut your losses. Yeah. And move on. I mean, not everyone is salvageable. As much as everyone wants to rah-rah and say you can inspire and blah, blah. I mean, there's just some people out there who just don't get it and they're not going to get it. And I'm not necessarily saying they have to be in a particular age bracket or a particular, you know, time in their career. I think anybody can fall victim to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is a good point. I think people make a lot of assumptions about maybe age or skill level based on superficial things. Mm-hmm. And maybe don't consider, oh, I could train this person. Where was I? I think I was on LinkedIn. It was another person's post. They were super excited about a job interview that they had. And they just super loved this company and they went all out and they were mostly qualified for the position. It was something where like they would have needed just a small amount of learning. Like they wanted an extra 2 years of experience in the thing over what this person had. But the company chose to go with somebody else over somebody who was really enthusiastic. You know, if somebody is enthusiastic and they're open and willing to learn, that could be your best employee, even if it takes a little time, you know, to kind of pour into them what specifically you need, because every organization is different. You know, there's software, enterprise software that exists with one company that may not exist in another, and everybody's going to have to learn that, you know, coming in. That's not a new thing. So keeping an open mind when you're talking to people, if they have a good attitude, if they're, you know, kind of open and willing to learn new things, that can overcome maybe some of the skills that they need to have trained. So
I think, oh, no question. Yeah. I mean, I've had conversations with my management team several times about, you know, when they're interviewing for potential openings or actual openings we have, they don't need to get caught up in all the experience. This experience is great, but if they have like you said, a very enthusiastic or a really great personality or attitude about things, you can teach them some of the skills, but you can't teach them some of the other things. And I think sometimes we get caught up in, you know, especially in our business, you know, in the financial institution business, that, oh, well, you know, they have, you know, this many X many years of being in banking or credit unions or But then you bring in someone, but you know, they're just, you're teaching, they have bad habits or bringing bad habits that they learned someplace else to you. And then you have to unteach that or unlearn that or whatever. Mm-hmm. And again, if they have a great attitude and it's a clean slate, you can teach them your culture, your environment, and they're willing to learn. And that's the thing is, we're more focused on our culture and our environment. I said, if you would want to work with that person, you see yourself working beside that person and then your other employees working beside them, then how can you go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good point because you do spend a lot of time at work every day. Well, maybe not so much now since everybody's working remotely, but you know what I mean?
We never went remote.
Even the office people?
No, we did not spend one day at home. I think we were a little bit insulated here from some of, you know, where the cases and some of where the, you know, the problem areas were. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we and thank goodness too, because we went through an entire computer upgrade during this entire thing. And we had to do that remotely. Awful. Well, doing it remotely, then having to do it remotely while you're remote, that would have been very challenging.
Yeah.
At least we were all together. We were here. We were able to meet together. We were able to do some things, some training and stuff together. Because that's the biggest undertaking that an organization can do. Mm-hmm. And we did it right in the middle of COVID. So very proud of my team. They did a good job. They stepped up and we got through it.
Awesome. So good leadership, like at work right there.
Well, yeah, from, you know, obviously from my entire team, you know, my entire executive and management team really did a really great job, you know, handling all the adversity.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You mentioned culture a minute ago. What are some things that you try to instill in the culture? Because culture can make or break an organization, you know, depending on where they put their priorities. What do you think is important as far as culture goes to set standards for the organization so that people are really flourishing and doing their best?
Again, I it always comes down to me like one word, and that's trust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think in our organization, people have to trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you have that, then you'll, you respect who you work for, you respect who you work with. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do all the funny, silly things at work all you want to, you know, all the ice cream parties and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But if the person doesn't feel important, they don't feel like they trust you or respect you, that's just fluff to them. You know, they're just like, whatever. I mean, I truly think they have to want to work for you. I want people to want to work here, to love to work here. Mm-hmm. Things we post on LinkedIn as an organization, some of the fun things we do. It's great. But I truly believe, you know, my executive team has been here 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I truly believe that people want to be here. And I mean, some people can't stay at an organization forever. You know, they find new jobs outside, you know, they move or their spouse moves or what have you, or they retire. So you're not going to have anyone forever, but I want people to truly enjoy working in this organization because they feel respected and they trust the people that they work for and they work with.
Mm-hmm. And trust and respect are both things that you have to work hard to earn, you know, on a regular basis. And if that starts to slip and people lose their trust and lose their respect in you, that takes a hard, that's a long time to try and get that back. If, you know, if it ever comes back in some severe cases. So, you know, if that's something that you have with your team, that's something, you know, to really cultivate and nurture because it can be fleeting. So that's awesome.
And, you know, like you said, you spend a lot of time at work, almost more time here with this family than you do sometimes your other family. So we consider ourselves a family. We talk of ourselves as a family. So, yeah, you're right.
Awesome. Well, if you had like two minutes to kind of wrap up your thought on leadership, being a good leader, you know, enterprises that have good leadership in place, what would that final thought be that you would want to leave with everyone?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, again, you know, just not to just regurgitate or keep going over some of the things we talked about, but I just think leaders out there just need to, you know, again, you know, show empathy. You want to be a servant leader. You know, I post a lot of stuff about servant leadership, and a lot of people probably don't even really understand the definition of what that is, and they should look it up sometime. Mm-hmm. Leading from the front, and again, showing empathy, you know, and making sure that people can, again, trust you and respect you. You know, everyone gives you the example of Chick-fil-A, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I was there yesterday. You know, I was flying back from Florida. I was in Dallas, stopped in there to get something to eat. And their people are so happy. And sometimes you wonder, like, is this put on? Do they just have to do this? You know what I mean? You know,
their check depends on it.
Yeah. But, you know, there's just something about it. It just seems genuine. You know, I mean, they have written the book on brand. I mean, they really, really have. And I think people need to realize they need to work on their personal brand, mm-hmm. but then they also need to help the organization with their brand. And if you have a really good personal brand, I think it's going to show through in the organizational brand as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't know what their hiring process is. I know nothing about it, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't, you know, the guy I was getting, you know, I was getting my, paying, and he asked me, did you do anything interesting this weekend? He asked me that while I was sitting there in the drive-thru. Who asked those kind of questions? But he seemed genuinely interested, you know, if I did anything interesting this weekend. So again, I think, you know, being a great communicator, you know, always making sure that your people in your organization know, you know, what the end goal is and what your end goal for them is, mm-hmm. you know, I just think that that's very, very key. And then inspiring. I always post inspirational stuff. Not only, I don't just do it because I just want to throw something out there and see how many people are going to like it. I do it because I hope it reaches people and people are really, truly inspired by it because it inspired me. So I wanted to put it out there. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. I think I'm going to post that. So anyway, I guess that's my 2 minutes worth.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to chat with us about all this. It's important. You know, soft skills, I think we could kind of summate are equal or maybe a little more important than some of the hard, you know, learned skills that you have, because those things you can kind of train people, but if someone's natural personality, you know, is a little bit more giving or something, that's, you know, a little bit easier to train some of those harder skills. So anyway, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. And if you would like to connect with Chris, I've got links at the bottom of the podcast where it posts an anchor. So is it okay to put a link to your LinkedIn profile?
Sure.
Okay. All right, cool. So if you would like to connect with Chris, there will be a link on the bottom. And I really appreciate you chatting today. Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it immensely. It's my pleasure.